interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you. And it is a title day, April 8 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. From inside the 237 Roof Studios, there's no job too big or too small. Just remember to call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Only 90 minutes today. I'll lead off speaking about tonight's national championship game. Opining on LSU-UL on the diamond, 5 out of 6, each of them trending in the right direction. And boy, do we have a spectacular guest list today. If you're a fan of local prep athletics and kids that get a chance to go on to the next level, I'll just tease you early by saying this: stick with the program today. The back half of hour number one, star studded. More on that momentarily. Let's lead off with the national championship game, and as always, we'll take your phone call, 706-0111. Virginia, Texas Tech, just like we all pictured, right? Now, I did have guns up, the Red Raiders into the Final Four. I didn't believe in them past that point. It's really hard at this juncture to deny what they've done and how they are doing it. It's all about defense. They put Michigan in a straitjacket in the Sweet 16 ball game. Held them to what? 40, I think it was? 41 points, something like that? They move on to the Elite Eight, and then they corral the number one top-scoring offense in all of college basketball. Top seed Gonzaga. Move on to Saturday's Final Four game. Oh, by the way, uncharted territory for that program. They got over that hurdle that so many of us like to throw in front of teams these days. Hard to get there if you haven't been there before, right? Hard to win there if you haven't been there before. They did. And they beat one of the best all-around coaches in the game today. But here's the inside scoop. The guy leading Texas Tech probably deserves to be considered in that conversation as well. Chris Beard and the Red Raiders from the Elite Eight last year to the final game this year. And they are my pick to win tonight. Because as you well know, despite the team of destiny that Virginia appears to be, I can't stand them. I just can't. I know that they play a similar brand of ball to Texas Tech. But the Red Raiders have Jarrett Culver. Offensively, they played in a Big 12 that more than just occasionally forced you to have to up the ante offensively. With Virginia, maybe they're just going to have to win a national championship to open my damn eyes, but so far I refuse to. I just don't know that they can beat you if you force them out of their comfort zone and if you don't allow them to play their style. That said, their Harry Houdini act, the second in three rounds Saturday, was very impressive. I thought Auburn was the better team for most of the first half, absorbed a lot of punches, probably didn't have as much depth, Auburn, as Tony Bennett's team, and yet still had themselves, after a frantic second-half comeback, in a position where they probably should have won that game. And do not come at me with, that wasn't a foul on the three-point shot. Of course it was. The Auburn defender, I don't care if you're standing straight up, he saddled right into where the landing zone would have been for the kid shooting a jumper from the corner. You can't do that. It's a foul. End of story. Now, you want to have a conversation about the double dribble that wasn't called? Oh, yeah, we can go down that road. And I think there is spilt milk, sour grapes, all the things you don't want to eat or drink. All those feelings right now are in the home of the Plainsman / War Eagle / Tigers. And it's not the loveliest plains in the world. It's the loneliest plains today. No chance. If I support that program, am I happy right now? I think they had the better team. I'm shocked they're not in the national championship game. But you've got Texas Tech. You've got Virginia. And I'll drive home quickly a point that I made. If you've listened to the weekly Reboot podcast, it's put out this week. It's on 1037thegame.com, the free mobile app, all that good stuff when you click tap on demand. The point, quite simply, is this. If you're not D'ing up in this day and age, you're not going to advance to and through the NCAA tournament. For that matter, probably not the NIT either. And there are so many programs that fall victim to that train of thought. In the podcast, I use Bob Marlin and UL as an example. There's a lot of pride in the Cajuns having led the Sun Belt in pace and scoring. And I'm not telling you that's bad. But if you can't back it up with consistent defense, you're just not going to win in these types of tournaments. We say it all the time on this program. The game shrinks when you get to the Sweet 16. When you get to the conference semis and finals and your conference tourneys, it just shortens. It does. It's the way it works. It's the reason Gonzaga didn't advance as far this year. Why? They ran into a team that could put you in handcuffs, period. I don't think it's an accident that two of the top four or five defensive teams in the country are playing tonight. And Duke is not, and Gonzaga is not. And I can go on and on with that list, couldn't I? And UNC is not, and Villanova's not. For that matter, LSU's not, one of the top scoring teams in the SEC. I'm never going to tell you that scoring is bad. But you have to be able to lock it down when it matters the most. And so defense will be first tonight. You've got an over-under south of 120. It's almost laughable, but it's real. And if you're not adjusting your program to fit that, I think you're behind the curve. I always take you back to, feels like 4 or 5 years ago at this point, UCLA baseball won the Natty Ship batting less than 200 in the College World Series. I vividly remember Paul Maneri at that point saying, we have to adjust the way we're doing things. And you look at what LSU baseball's done since, they've gotten a lot faster and a lot quicker throughout the lineup. They know they need to manufacture runs, they need to take extra bases on hits, and they need to steal bags. End of discussion. If you're not adjusting along those lines in college basketball right now, you'll find yourself, in my opinion, on the outside looking in. Speaking of LSU baseball, how about 2 of 3 over Texas A&M at the box this weekend? Speaking of UL baseball, didn't start well. Right after I left campus, after the Beaver Club relays, I was looking over the right field fence, and they dropped one fairly decidedly to Arkansas State on Friday. They swept a doubleheader on Saturday. Wasn't the same exact formula for LSU, but the end result, both programs won 2 out of 3. Both have now won 5 out of 6. And LSU gets to ever so slightly decelerate the rest of this week, right? Never too cumbersome in the midweek. They're at Missouri this weekend. That's not an SEC juggernaut. And I'm also not suggesting that they're going to let their foot off the gas. But it ain't A&M, and it ain't State. LSU, now tied for tops in the SEC West, has gotten back to very good footing. As far as the Cajuns, everything's even, Steven. 17-17 overall, 6-6 in the Sun Belt. This week is more important for the Cajuns. Why? You've got some pretty important opportunities. La Tech, McNeese State, to get some RPI kudos in the midweek before you take on South Al this weekend. By the way, all 5 of those games at Teague Moore Field at Russo Park. Big opportunity for Tony Robichaud's guys to take another step forward. And then those two programs will meet one another a week from tomorrow at the Shrine on Airline. I'm fired up for the Wally Pontiff Classic, and both teams starting to play good baseball. That's exactly what the doctor ordered. Let me tell you what we're going to order up today. Big, big program. Clint told me before the show, I see you're going with the full-out Tommy Mansky today. And you're damn right. Back-to-back-to-back guest today. At 4:30, Lafayette High's finest, Corey Davis, just finished his senior season with the Houston Cougars, heading toward the NBA draft. And we got to have the former Mighty Lion aboard at 4:30. At 4:45, look, this young man was too busy Friday when I was at the UL track and field complex. He was busy with one of the most impressive track performances you'll ever see. So Trajan Jones of Karen Crow High, he's a future UL Raging Cajun. He'll join us today at 4:45. I told you, we got some prep stars today. And then we got an out-and-out star straight up 5 o'clock, Billy Embody. Go to 247.com, talking LSU spring football. Big program. We've only got 90 minutes. Time to max it out. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
We started this summer, came together, and our chemistry just keeps growing each and every day. So, I mean, we're all playing for our brothers and playing for each other. So, we got one last game, and it's for the national championship.
That's Jarrett Culver, and yes, he will be the best player on the floor tonight, not just for Texas Tech, but of any of the 10 on there at a given time. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. We got music, and then we got a couple of questions coming at you. You could probably guess one of them. CD, we could be fairly predictable that way. But I got a different one that's going to force you to stretch it out just a little bit. I know for our Twitterites, our Facebook peeps, that's tough for you. You don't always like the open-ended ones. But here, with our call-ins, you people are a little different. Exciting and your sink or swim question of the day, part one. Who wins the national championship game tonight? Told you. Predictable, but important. I need you to give me your winner. And I'll tell you right now, Virginia still going off as a 1.5-point favorite. I'm pretty demonstrative in how I feel about this game tonight. So for anybody actually putting down some personal coin, like Cousin Dino would say, probably means you need to go in the other direction. Who wins the national championship game tonight? That's part one. Part two, and this is the one where you get to think a little bit. Who is the MVP of this LSU baseball season to date? I know. They've only played 12 games in the conference. They got a long way to go. And they're ready for a lot of people to get healthy to try and make that run. But so far, just shy of the halfway point of conference play, who is your MVP for this LSU baseball team? You want to answer one? You want to answer both? Give us a call now. Don't wait. We got a lot of guests coming after this segment. 706-0111. CD, as per the usual, not the always, you lead off.
I think it's the usual whenever you're inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. That being said, I got to go with Virginia winning here. It just feels like their team is going to wind up winning the whole darn thing. As much as I hate to say it.
That's a spite pick on your part.
Nah, I'm being serious. It just feels like this is a team that's going to wind up winning it. Because I was talking to somebody over the weekend about it, and he definitely had a strong take on Virginia, so I'm kind of leaning towards what he said. In terms of MVP for LSU baseball, I got to say professional hitter Chris Reed is at the top of the list in my mind for being one of the MVPs of this team. And the way he's been able to step his game up after kind of not being a part of the team during fall ball, then all of a sudden just pops up on the roster before the season starts. I had to give it to him.
I think there are a number of options for the LSU baseball. I'll actually lead there because I have one for you that'll probably seem off the wall to you. There's no doubt that you can answer Chris Reed, a local product. Speaking of Lafayette High, got Corey Davis coming aboard in about 10 minutes. You could absolutely push all your chips into the table for Antoine Duplantis, and nobody would probably argue with you. But if I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate, CD, if I'm just generating conversation, are we sure that Devin Fontenot doesn't merit some consideration in this discussion?
I think he should.
You weren't sure who your closer was going to be, or you were sold a bill of goods that it's definitely going to be Todd Peterson. Well, that's kind of morphed a little bit. And all of a sudden, your guy that usually lights out no matter where you need him, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning more lately, seems to always be there. Boy, what a steadying force I think that he has become with an alternating starting pitching window, right? You don't know who it's going to be based on health. The only given so far has been Zach Hess, and that's just the slot. The performance has certainly not been given time in, time out. So that may shock you a little bit, but I'm going to offer up Devin Fontenot as an out-of-left-field answer for LSU's MVP so far. A lot of season to go. You know how I feel about the other one. Texas Tech is my pick to win the game tonight. I'm shocked that they're underdogs in this game. I don't care that there's a one seed in front of Virginia and a three seed in front of Texas Tech. None of that matters anymore. Don't believe me? Ask Gonzaga. Ask Michigan State. None of that matters anymore. I'm kind of dubious on the idea that Virginia should even be favored in this game. I know. I've got a blind hatred toward them at this point. I don't like the way they play. They remind me of Les Miles-style football teams on the hardwood. They hide the offense. They don't express it. But do they deserve the benefit of the doubt because they are, what, that team of destiny this year? Because somehow, some way, they got over on Auburn when it didn't feel like they were going to? Because somehow they got over on Purdue? Two pretty darn odd finishes. I'll grant you that. But why that makes them the favorite right now, I'm not so sure. What I will tell you, having watched that Auburn game, I am impressed with Virginia's length inside. When they bring out your boy that looks like Wesley Snipes from The Fifth Element on the block, he is an eraser defensively. Absolutely incredible. So I'm impressed with the sum of all their parts. I am. And I know that's what makes a great team. But something tells me that Texas Tech gets it done tonight. Certainly, I don't mind sharing with you that I'm rooting for them to get it done tonight. We got time for you to call, but don't make us wait. Who you got winning the Natty Ship tonight? I know it starts at 8:20 p.m. Central Time. Even if you're drooling by the time this thing's in halftime because it's so darn late, you can still give us your pick. And you can also share with us your LSU baseball MVP so far. 706-0111. CD, we're doing this thing a little differently with where we're housing the poll. I'll explain it to the people, and then I'll let you give an update on how they're voting so far. We're now putting your Sink or Swim Question of the Day poll on the actual site. So if you go to 1037thegame.com, it's right there, below the featured image. Biggest Texas. You can't miss it. So vote there, and we'll continue to update it. What says the poll so far?
Right now, everybody's leaning the Virginia Cavaliers right now.
Can I just take a collective bet with the city? Is there a way for me to do that? Look, I'll be at the Tap Room Thursday night. I'll be at Rufino's on the River Friday night. Can I just put up my share, you put up yours, and then you come pay me either on Thursday or Friday? Can that work that way?
I'm sure it would, you know. I'm sure it could work out.
Can the city just Venmo me? Is that something we can do?
Like I said, I'm sure.
Look into that.
I think it would be feasible.
We might have to widen the parameters a little bit, because then when our guy Craig D in the B wants to get in, we can't just do the city. We got to expand this to all of Acadiana. Yeah, we'll set up a personal little Venmo, right?
Yeah.
I'll call it my ATM. I got Texas Tech, and you guys are wrong. I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and this is going to be painful, isn't it? I feel like I'm the only one on this iceberg right now, but
I mean,
I just think Texas Tech's the better team. I think offensively, when push comes to shove, they can get buckets when and where Virginia might not be able to. So those are my early thoughts. I will also tell you that the way Texas Tech dispatched of Michigan State, it was clinical. And all of their games are starting to kind of feel the same. You might make the same argument for Virginia. Yeah, Ben, their games seem to be kind of going the same as well. Maybe yes, maybe no. I think it's easier to make the leap that Texas Tech can replicate what it's been doing. Can Virginia keep pushing back midnight as Cinderella? I don't know about that. I don't know. I do know that defensively both of these teams are outstanding. I think this might be the basketball equivalent of LSU-Bama 2011. This might feel 9-6 OT-ish. It could. I think it's going to be less poetic on a basketball court than it was on a gridiron, but hey, that's just one guy with his microphone and his 2 cents. Again, we got time for yours if you're ready. 706-0111. But I am excited about the triple header that we'll feature here shortly. Corey Davis Jr., former Lafayette High Mighty Lion, an AAC all-conference performer. A lot of people believe he was snubbed for being the conference player of the year for Kelvin Sampson in Houston this past season. I'm excited to get a little bit inside of his journey and what it was like to start off at San Jack, going to San Jacinto Junior College. Chose Houston over Arizona, Oklahoma State, and yes, LSU, amongst others, and he's been one of the best two-way players in basketball for the last two seasons. So we'll get with Corey Davis on this year's tournament, maybe who he likes tonight, and the next step as the former Lafayette hire heads toward the NBA draft. So Corey Davis coming your way after this upcoming break. Trajan Jones at 4:45. All I've told you so far is that he was spectacular at the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays. In case you haven't read in the paper, you've been under a rock, the kid ran a 10.64 in the 100 meter. Yes, that is a meet record. And yes, from what I've been reading so far, that's one of the top five times posted around the country this year. He won the 100, the 200. His squad took home the 4x2, the 4x4. It's just incredible everything they were able to accomplish. So excited to talk with Trajan Jones out of Karen Crow High, and he'll be suited up for Coach Batto and the Raging Cajuns next year, and I think he'll be an immediate difference maker, joining a former high school teammate, obviously, in Key Alford II. So excited to have Jones aboard at 4:45, and then at straight up 5 o'clock, I know, it's basketball slash baseball season. Many of you still have your brains all on football. So we got your fix as well. Billy Embody, go247.com. His biggest takeaways from the spring game: I told you I wanted to see Derek Stingley Jr. go up against starting receivers with Joe Burrow passing. That happened, and he picked one off. That is what I wanted to see. So everything else that Billy Embody saw, I'll let him share with you, plus a little bit on the recruiting side. Again, that's at straight up 5 o'clock. But we're out of here today at 5:35. That's because we got to send you to Houston. Yeah, that's right. It's the Astros and the Yankees. Justin Verlander on the mound tonight against Tanaka. This one should be fun. First pitch is 6:10 p.m. The pregame show Astro launch at 5:35, and we're making our way there with you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game. 103.7 The Game. Not even going to lie. A little bummed out about that one. First covered Corey Davis as part of a, I guess you would call it, I don't know, a bit of a measuring combine in Baton Rouge. He was part of a group that was playing against Skylar Mays, Wade Sims, a number of very, very talented players, some of whom went on to play at LSU. A lot of the Madison Prep kids were out there for that as well. And so I first saw him there. He was actually the MVP of that combine's All-Star game. So I got to watch him at that point. And look at that. Clint's telling me now we do have him. All right, let's see what we can do. We're going to try to juggle some things quickly. Let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. It is time now to bring on Corey Davis Jr., a first-team all-conference player in the AAC and heading toward the NBA draft. How are you, Corey?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Hey, look, we're doing great. Glad to finally have you here. I got to ask you, when you consider the path that you took from Lafayette High through San Jack in the last 2 years in Kelvin Sampson's program, what do you think about the journey and kind of where it's spitting you out on the other side?
Honestly, it's just all worthwhile. I mean, I went through a lot of things, going through high school, going to junior college, and then finally making it to Division I school and be able to just live out a lifelong dream. I mean, it was definitely worth it. I learned a lot throughout the process. And, I mean, I just grew as a person, as a man. I just learned so much. I mean, I was always surrounded by good people that just wanted to see me succeed. And I think that was a big reason for my success.
Why was it so important to you from a young age to become a great two-way player and somebody who prided himself defensively as well as on the offensive end?
Honestly, I just really felt like that was a lost art in today's basketball. I mean, everybody always wants to score, wants to be, you know, the guy that's making all the clutch shots and doing all the amazing plays. But I just wanted to be someone that prided myself on doing the dirty work, all the things that people don't like to do or people that, you know, things that don't really get paid any attention. So, I mean, that's just what really I pride myself on, because I really just feel like it fits my personality.
Another moment or two with Corey Davis Jr. on 103.7 The Game. You led Lafayette High your senior year to a 26-4 record. You were the district MVP. When you reflect on that period of time and how it helped you to grow as a man and a basketball player, what do you make of that?
I mean, that's where my journey began, honestly. I mean, that's where I just really just fell in love with the game and just became the basketball playing person I am now. I mean, Coach Brown was an amazing coach. I mean, Coach Fig was also a great person that was in my corner. I mean, I had amazing teammates at that time. Keandre Broussard, I mean, there's just so many people that helped me throughout that process. And it was just so much fun. Cause, I mean, I played with a great group, and it was just an amazing time for me.
I made the comment earlier in the show that if you're not playing defense, and I mean really hard-nosed defense as a team, it's just so hard to advance through the NCAA tournament. So when you think about tonight's ball game, Texas Tech, Virginia, I mean, two teams that are defense first. Who do you like in that one?
I honestly like Texas Tech because their physicality is just something that's really hard to match. I mean, they score at all three levels with a lot of guys, and they just make it hard for you for 40 minutes. And I feel like Virginia is going to have to play a perfect brand of basketball to beat Tech because they're a physical team, and they're going to try to choke the life out of them on the defense end.
What's the rest of your path like toward the 2019 NBA draft? I guess where you'll be working out, who you're working out with, and the areas of your game you'll continue to grow.
I mean, at this point, I'm just really all, just figuring all that out. I mean, I'm getting a lot of positive talk throughout the process of trying to make it to the league. So, I mean, I'm just trying to stay focused. I'm getting ready to sign on my agency in a few. Got that list of dwindling down. So, I mean, I got a lot to look forward to. I mean, I've been working out since the season ended. So, I mean, that never really stops with me. So, I'm really just getting ready for whatever comes my way this summer.
What type of wisdom, as we finish up with Corey Davis Jr., are you able to bestow on your younger brother? Jalen Dalcourt also went through Lafayette High. I know he's at Tallahassee Community College. As he's going a similar road that you went, what do you tell him?
I mean, my other brother, that's my heart, and we talk every day. I mean, I'm just really just trying to stay in the field, just keep him focused and keep him working hard, because, I mean, at the end of the day, he has just as much of talent as me. So, I mean, if he just keeps working hard, keeps going in the right direction and just listening to everybody that's around him, I mean, he's going to be just fine. I mean, he's a hard worker. He loves the game just as much as I do. He plays just as hard as I do. So, I mean, he's just in the learning process, and once he gets everything buckled down and he figure out, you know, himself and what he can really bring to this game, he'll be just as, if not better than me.
Corey, you know we appreciate the time. Thanks for making this work, and best of luck as you get toward the NBA draft. It's been a heck of a time following your career at U of H.
Thank you so much.
Corey Davis Jr. And sometimes that's how you have to do it. We appreciate him being diligent, getting onto the airwaves in his hometown. And he told you, his little brother, Jalen Dalcourt, his heart. And he thinks he might end up having more talent as well. We'll see if that proves to be the case. But one heck of a collegiate career for Corey Davis Jr. And now, hey, it's a double dip. Let's get back out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. We do appreciate the patience of this young man. And he doesn't have a lot of patience on the track. All he does, blaze records. He did that Friday, along with his teammates at Karen Crow High, as part of the 12th annual Beaver Club Relays. Time to bring on Trajan Jones of Karen Crow, who'll be heading to UL next season. Trajan, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good.
All right, so you knew how many different events that you were going to have to compete in, and you do this time in, time out. How do you prepare yourself mentally and physically for a night like you had Friday?
The key for me, I really don't think about it too much. I don't put too much pressure on me, but I also don't joke around to where I lose focus. It's in the middle.
And you set what was a Beaver Club relay record. Look back on that 10-6-4 with me, if you will, because last year I got to watch Mondo Duplantis go 10-6-9. How did you take it to that next level, and I guess how did that feel when you were done?
I just took it like any other race. I just was focused. I did my prayer and just performed.
Talking now with Trajan Jones on 103.7 The Game. A star on the football field as well as track and field, but you'll have your next level at UL. So take me through the process and what led you to sign with Coach Batto and the Raging Cajuns.
When I first met Coach Batto, I already knew that he was a good coach. And not only that, but I know people that he's coached, and they went to the next level and they did good. So I already trust him with my next level performance.
When you think of what your team did last year, and obviously you were an instrumental part of that, winning the Class 4A state championship outdoor, and you did it without a single person really on the field part of things, right? You didn't have any discus, shot put, javelin, anything like that.
No.
It's just all runners. How rare is that for that to be accomplished?
I mean, when we went, we knew we'd have any field event. So we knew we had to get our mind right and perform. And get points on the board. We didn't look at the scoreboard. We just went out and ran our own race. We didn't worry about what others were doing. We went out, tried to PR and beat our own time.
What, if anything, Trajan, did you take away from your time with Key Alford II, who will be a teammate of yours again next year, I know?
He taught me a lot. Like, when he's a year older than me, when I came, he had buzz already. I wasn't really buzzing. And just seeing how he stayed focused and what he had to do to get to the next level, I just took a lot from him. And I did the same thing as him. And it just got me to the next level.
We got another moment or two with Trajan Jones here on 103.7 The Game. All right, so it wasn't just the 100. You had a full day, and you had a lot of teammates that helped you along the way. So in particular, take me through some of those relays and how the Golden Bears did something that is, again, pretty rare in this day and age.
We went into the meet thinking of beating the records because our PRs were always faster than all the records. But especially the 4x2, I didn't think it was going that fast. I didn't think. Because I remember coming around the curve, and actually coming around the curve, I felt a cramp in my calves. But mentally, I was just like, just keep going. And I didn't look at the clock. I just had my eyes set on the finish line. And when I finished and I seen the time, all I could do was just bang on my chest.
I'll go back to the 100 again briefly, Trajan, because I was still there at that point. And I watched your teammate, Artrell Marks, finish third. And I don't know that it was that he felt upset he didn't win, but give me a little bit of insight into what that competitive race is like and that competitive mentality as teammates even try to get the better of one another.
It's great. It's great. Every day at practice, he pushes me. And I like teammates like that push me because it only makes me faster and it only makes them faster. Like, this year, I think for Tranco, we could get 1 and 2 at state in the 100 meter.
That really would be incredible. I'll get you out of here on this one. I know that it was the parish meet, so we didn't get to see Westgate High, but how much fun is it for you in the 100 and the 200 to compete against Kayshawn Boutte a year younger at Westgate?
Yeah, it's amazing. All my years, he's been the one that consistently gives me a race. He's been the one.
And what is it about the 200 that maybe has to stretch you out a little bit when you compete with, like yourself, elite athletes like Kayshawn?
It's a challenge because the way he's built, taller, he runs the 400, it's a challenge. I'm more shorter and more stocky, so I have to get out fast, a fast beat out on him, and I just keep it and keep my form because if I don't, then there isn't good to him. So I have to keep my form, stay strong, and just finish.
Trajan, you know we appreciate the time today. Thanks for making it for us. Best of luck to you, Coach Barrett, and the rest of the Golden Bears as your season gets towards state again. Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
Trajan Jones, future Raging Cajun. And I left the Beaver Club relays Friday saying to myself, probably should have made a better effort to get Trajan Jones, right? Looking at what he was doing. But here's the issue. As many races as that cat was running, whew, it was tough. It was tough to find a window. Everybody else that came up to the press box to talk, they had about a 2 or 3 hour gap at a minimum. Not a lot of rest for the weary when it comes to Trajan Jones. So I promised myself that we'd get him on the show Monday. CD, take a bow, sir. This was interesting. But yeah, as far as air traffic control goes, I don't think planes are crashing into each other yet.
I appreciate that, Ben. I'm trying to avoid getting the planes crashing right now.
So Corey Davis Jr., Trajan Jones, that might be a first. We talk about back-to-back interviews. I'm not sure that we've ever done that in one segment before. So thanks to those young men for making it work as well. And I'll continue reflecting on where I was. You want to call in? Yeah, we got a moment or two. 706-0111. I mentioned the first time that I saw Corey was the summer leading in his senior season. And I believe it was called Combine in the Capitol. And the whole idea was to get some more exposure for some of these kids. I mentioned that the U High kids were there, right? And they weren't the only ones. They were a year younger than Corey Davis, but Skylar Mays, the late, great Wade Sims, they had a lot of really good players that were there as well. I mean, kids that are playing right now at places like Emory, Xavier in New Orleans, some good talent. that was out there. I believe some of the Madison Prep kids, too. I think Jeff Jones had some of his kids there. But Corey was the MVP of that game after they finished doing some of the measurements and they started actually hooping. It was pretty impressive, especially defensively. And so now to watch how he's kind of taken that and transferred it to the collegiate level, he's got a chance to be taken in the 60 picks for the NBA draft. I would say a better chance than even Tremont Waters. Not telling you he's as good of a scorer, but he's a better two-way player. He just is, and he's got some more size. In the NBA, that matters a lot. So great to finally track Corey Davis Jr. down. Started efforting that interview last Monday. Boom. 1 week later, we knocked it out. So we appreciate him making it work. Ditto for Trajan Jones. And I've had opportunities to call his high school football games for the last 3 years. Some pretty memorable performances for him as well. I can recall a 99-yard touchdown run. He's had returns with punts, with kickoffs. I mean, just about everything. So an incredibly versatile player. But his future at the collegiate level lies on the track and field. And I can tell you that Coach Lon Bado, after our interview was done in the press box, said the kid from Karen Crow is going to be awfully special for us next year. So great to get both of them on. And how about that? In the same segment. Only way to wind it down is with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Powerhouses. Karen Crow with 113 points. Finished as the Paris champs on the boys' side, and then, yeah, Lafayette High. The Lady Mighty Lions, just prolific in so many areas, so not surprising to see them on the top of the mountain again. It was a lot of fun Friday. Had to make sure that it spilled over into this championship Monday. Powerhouse is the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're talking LSU spring ball next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. I'm Ben Love. He's Clint Domang. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. About a half an hour left in the program today. I know, we're cut short. But we're ready to max it out from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. On the other side of our show today, Astros, Yankees, baseball from Minute Maid, Verlander versus Tanaka. And according to Astros President Reed Ryan, the roof is scheduled to be open today for the 6:10 first pitch, Tuesday for the 7:10 first pitch, and Wednesday for the 6:40 first pitch. So how about that? The open air juice box over in Houston. Right now, it's time to get back to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. We're going to switch it over to LSU Spring Football Talk. Reviewing the spring game with us, Billy Embody, go247.com. Billy, happy Monday to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Everybody will want to know about Joe Brady. How much of his offense did we see? Was there anything that surprised you? I'll let you answer some of those questions. So as far as the offensive direction and what was on display Saturday, how would you respond?
They kept things pretty under wraps, which isn't really surprising. Getting to stop by the coaches' clinic late last month ahead of the spring game, talking with some of the offensive coaches, they said don't even expect too many fireworks to go off in the spring game from this offense. And that's exactly what they showed. But what they showed was a quicker passing game, a lot of slants, a lot of underneath routes. We saw some dump-offs to the running backs, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly. Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan both looked fairly sharp, I would say, especially Brennan completing 11 of 14 passes. And then from there, really, you have the surprise, I think, of Chris Curry. He ran physically well and made some guys miss and made some plays. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked good as well. And the whole offense, just the way they're able to create matchups. And I think that's the biggest thing that we're going to see with Joe Brady involved with the offense, and something the Saints do so well with Drew Brees, and something that they're trying to bring to Baton Rouge and LSU. And while we didn't get to see a ton from the spring game, we did get to see some of the flashes, I think, of what's to come.
I'm glad you mentioned Curry, and he's a kid who came in with a lot of hype. I mean, the nickname Baby Beast Mode, right? And I could see where they want to make him the Mark Ingram equivalent of this LSU offense. What do you think it was that was difficult for him in his freshman season? I know he ended up taking a red shirt, but during his game action, he went backwards more than he went forward. So what do you think was difficult about that endeavor, and maybe what's different now?
That's something we talked with some of the offensive linemen during the season about. It seemed like every play Chris Curry got in there, he'd break one off, and it would be a holding penalty, or the play would get blown up. And so I think a lot of his adjustment to the college game was more the pass protections and trying to be consistent. And Nick Brosset played really well last year, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a really solid number two guy for them. And so I think they were okay with letting Chris Curry redshirt. And now we saw, again, a lot of what you saw on his high school tape, and he just looked like he was playing with a lot of confidence in the spring game.
Talking LSU spring football with Billy Embody, go247.com on 103.7 The Game. All right, you addressed the quarterbacks already. Anything in particular with Burrow that looked different from last year? I mean, does he look healthier to you? I know we didn't see a ton of the run game, but your thoughts on Burrow and his performance?
Yeah, I think that's one thing. You mentioned the run game, and that was a non-factor for this offense in the spring game, which isn't really surprising considering he was, you know, he had that procedure done on his shoulder, and Ed Ogeron has kind of said that, look, it's still a little sore. We're trying to be careful with it. He tested Derek Stingley on that left side of that interception. And so, I mean, that's something that I think Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady will kind of have a conversation about. And he admitted it after the game. He said that's not a throw that I'm going to be trying to make too often in game situations. But in the spring game, he decided to. But just that overall quickness of his game, getting the ball out of his hands quickly, and that was a good sign, especially with some of the offensive line protection issues.
Defensively, I was impressed with Andre Anthony, and I was told from the moment he got on campus, this is a guy who's really got a chance. I guess your thoughts on where he might fit into the rotation, and if this, for any reason, in the spring game, has been a mirage?
It's going to be interesting because Caleb-On Chasson is going to be back next year, and he's healthy, got All-American type talent, former five-star prospect. And then you've got guys who have showed well there as well, like Jarrell Cherry. So that whole kind of logjam at that rush end position that they bring off the edge is going to be interesting to see how it works out. Health has obviously been something that's been an issue for Anthony at times. So as long as he's healthy, he's going to figure in there, and he's a veteran guy. And Ed Ogeron and the staff have been, I think, especially defensively, more likely to lean on those veterans outside of what Derek Stingley is going to be doing this year. But for the most part, they've leaned on those veterans to step up and make big plays. And they're going to need that from Anthony, especially when Caleb-On Chasson comes out of the game.
All right, give us a glimpse, Billy, into how you think Corey Raymond, Bill Bush, Dave Aranda use their cornerbacks. We got to see, obviously, what Derek Stingley Jr. is about. I think that Kelvin Joseph surprised a lot of people as a freshman. Christian Fulton returns. Are they going to leave some of those guys on an island? Is there going to be some travel maybe involved on the best receiver for somebody like Stingley? And then with the nickelback spot, give us an idea of how you think the corners work this year.
I think with Fulton and Stingley, they can leave those guys out on an island and just be fine, and that'll allow them to do some different things with disguising coverages. And you mentioned the cornerbacks, but playing off of that, the safeties, guys like Jacoby Stevens, who's kind of playing that quarter safety in the box type position that Grant Delpit did at the beginning of the year. And then you have Delpit, of course, and Todd Harris, who's kind of the more traditional free safety right now, it looks like. And because of all that, how do they use a nickel? How do they actually work in guys like Kerry Vincent and Kelvin Joseph? Because I think Kelvin Joseph has earned the right to see snaps. And so they're not just going to let him sit on the sidelines. He's going to have to play. So that's something that I think is yet to be determined for sure. especially with Christian sitting out the spring, but he'll be ready to go by fall camp, and they'll get a better handle on kind of how all that works out, especially that nickelback spot.
Billy, give me a player or two who you think made the most progress this spring, and whether they were a starter, whether they're trying to come from being a platoon guy, who took the most positive steps forward for this LSU football team?
I think two. I think Jamar Chase, there's a lot of praise sung for him. They're expecting him to be a true number one wide receiver. And so all the reviews out of all the scrimmages leading up to the spring game were that Chase was going to be really impressive. And then I'll kind of do a pair for the second one, which will be Apuleika and Tyler Shelvin. Both of those guys have to be ready to play. They have to contribute at a high level, and both impressed, and both have been working hard and losing weight and doing all that. If they can get those two guys rotating in there at the nose tackle position and really impressing, then that's a game changer for this defense.
I want to piggyback off that for a second. We got another moment or two with Billy Embody. Go247.com. If Chase takes a step forward, and everybody assumes that he will, what might that mean for Justin Jefferson? Because he was everything to this receiving core last year. What do you make out of his role in 2019?
I think you're still going to see a lot of them. They're going to be in three, four wide receiver sets, supposedly. we've heard that for a long time around LSU's offense about opening things up, but this does seem different. This does seem like they're going to go 3-4 wide receivers more often than not, and Jefferson's been a guy that's been impressing a lot in the slot, during spring ball, and they're still very high on him and what he can do.
All right, before we let you go, special teams weren't exactly special on Saturday. I'm not sure how much stock to put into that, but kickoffs that don't always make it to the end zone, right before the half, a missed field goal. How will they look this year compared to last year, at least with the guys using their feet?
Yeah, that one's weird. The spring game setups sometimes for special teams can take these guys out of their rhythm and their flow and all that. I don't necessarily think Avery Atkins is the answer at kicker, but he's going to be the kickoff guy. He's somebody that did a phenomenal job of that last year, so I don't think that's going to change. And they'll let these guys battle it out at kicker and see who comes away with the job. Freshman Cade York is obviously one of the best kickers in the country and has plenty of leg. He made a 65-yard field goal, I believe, in the Under Armour All-American game. And so he's got the leg to do it, and if he can kind of manage the emotions of it as a freshman, he's got a chance to be the field goal guy.
We'll get you out of here with this. Just an overall big-picture answer. How do you grade out the way this weekend went from a recruiting standpoint?
I would say A-. And here's why. I know they only got Jaden Navarrete out of California, but there is a ton of momentum that I think we will see come to fruition in the coming weeks with some of these guys they had on campus. The buzz around the job that they did with guys like Jermaine Burton, guys like Xavier Alford, are two of the top skill guys in the country. One's a wide receiver and the other one's a corner or safety out of Texas. And both of those guys are really high on LSU, and then a lot of the in-state guys that I got a chance to watch the spring game were impressed as well.
You know, we appreciate the time, Billy. We've been talking basketball, baseball so far. The people want their football. Thanks for giving it to them.
Anytime, brother. Thanks for having me.
Billy Embody, recruiting, team coverage, along with Shea Dixon and Sonny Shipp at Go Spell the Louisiana Way, 247.com. There you go. Three interviews in a row, just as we foretold. On the other side of this break, time to throw some shade. And this is speculative shade, but I might have a little supplemental as well. That plus an update on a former area prep star. Pretty cool stuff. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Couple of quick tidbits to share right off the bat in this segment on area prep stars made good. And then we'll throw some shade. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Do not forget, we got Astros baseball tonight. First of three from the juice box against the New York baseball Yankees. Stros, Yanks, tonight, 6:10 is the first pitch. 5:35, Astro launch. Clint and I are bringing you right there. Verlander versus Tanaka. Stros could use a win, even at this early juncture of the season. Here are those tidbits. Galen Alexander, former basketball standout at Bro Bridge, then LCA. We told you when we had him on a week ago today that he's heading to Georgetown. He's a commit to Patrick Ewing, Robert Kirby, and the Hoyas. Today, Galen was named an NJCAA Division I Honorable Mention All-American. So congrats to Galen Alexander, who's finishing up his JUCO career, Jones County JUCO in Mississippi, today a part of the All-American teams listed at the NJCAA Division I level. Now, as to another former standout, in fact, the guy that, well, I caught at least one game where Galen was playing against him on the hardwood, but his future, this next young man, seems to be on the gridiron. Congrats to Ronald LeBlanc, 6'6 wide receiver, prepped for the one and only Blue Gators of Ascension Episcopal. Just finished his time at Coffeyville Community College, and he has committed to Billy Napier and the Ragin' Cajuns. Hard to teach his type of size, and a very physical player as well. Was pretty darn good for my guy, right? Coach Eric Mouton and the Blue Gators on the hardwood, but he was part of a team that went all the way to the state championship game at the Division IV level for Ascension Episcopal. So Ronald LeBlanc, a wide receiver with size, going to suit up for UL sooner than later as a commitment. So our hats are off to him. All right, enough of that for now. CD, we do this every single day. It's a PSA locally for folks. A reminder that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. You need to check out the inventory at patiocenter.com. It starts with the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, and it goes through, but not limited to, the standing seam metal awnings. And know that from the top down with the management, it starts with Mark. They'll help you to formulate a vision, and then they'll fulfill it right before your eyes. The team at Patio Center collectively wants to help you up your patio game to have the baddest on the block before the end of 2019. And it all starts with a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
If LSU basketball waits on Will Wade, and it certainly appears they're going to, and it doesn't work out, i.e., if they have to look for a new head coach in late April, early May, or even further down the road, then they're going to deserve some shade. Because look at the market right now and the hits it is taking. The most notable example, the most recent, is my guy, Eric Musselman. Spent a little time on Johnny Jones' staff at LSU, left to become a head coach in Reno. What did he do? Leading the Wolfpack of Nevada? How about three NCAA tournament runs in four seasons, including a trip to the Elite Eight? And over the weekend, he took the head coaching job at Arkansas. That surprised me a little. It surprised some people in my circle, too. There were thoughts he may not want to coach in the SEC, where some of the recruiting restrictions for transfer players, the JUCO guys, maybe not quite the same as what you'd find out west in the Pac-12. But let's say this right now. He took one hell of a job at a place where if you breathe life into it, in Fayetteville, they can be a sleeping giant. And so look around yourself. If you're LSU, look at Texas A&M. They went out and got Buzz Williams. He may still, we don't know yet, but he may still be able to bring Tony Benford, LSU's interim head coach, onto his staff. We know they're throwing a lot of bucks at him. We know the resources that the Aggies have in College Station. Look to the east of you in Tuscaloosa. They went up and got basically the basketball today version of what Tom Herman was in football a couple of years back. They picked off of the Buffalo Bulls tree and got an up-and-coming star. Everywhere in the world of college basketball right now, some of the big names are falling. The Summit just ended at the Final Four. If you're not getting yours now, I'll respectfully disagree with our weekly guest, Brian Snow. He's a national college basketball recruiting analyst. Yeah, he probably knows more than me. But he says, look at the Ohio State model. They've been out to get their last few coaches in May and in June. Boy, I think that's the anomaly. I think that's the exception. The rule of thumb typically is if you're not getting your guy in April, especially just somewhere kind of tangent to the Final Four, then you might be in a little bit of trouble. And so I'm not telling you that LSU definitely will be, but that certainly is one of the high wire risks that they run by waiting until this federal corruption trial has come and gone. If it comes and goes and Wade is still their coach, they may have some moral ethical issues they have to deal with, but as far as the dotting the I's, crossing the T's go, if they feel good about it, then they'll run with it. But if it doesn't go down that way, and I still think there's a good chance of it, boy, you're going to have to coach against Buzz Williams. You have to coach against Eric Musselman, both of those guys twice a season. You better have your guy, your general, in place, because if you don't, you might just be in trouble.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
I told you, speculative shade today, because there's a big if hanging on. There's a caveat, and I'm not taking the bait and full-on talking Wade LSU today, but this is part of the risk, the inherent risk that you're going to run. And I know there are many of you out there right now wondering, why didn't you take the low-hanging fruit today? Even CD's kind of looking at me cockeyed right now. You've got everything from Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, and that's not part of shade today?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised you went that route, but I'm like, you know, you did talk about this a little bit on Friday, so I'm not that surprised at it. But, you know, I still, what's up with that?
You got 90 seconds. Why don't you speak to the Twitter beef, sir?
Oh, boy. Twitter beef, Instagram, DM beef, everything in between what we're seeing with Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. It kind of proves a lot what we heard about Antonio Brown, especially heading into this coming season, like this previous season. What we were definitely hearing as the season was coming towards the tail end, that Antonio Brown, he's definitely a diva, as Rome would say, a bag. It's just a bad look for him.
So you're team Juju here.
I'm team Juju here. I mean, how can you not be? You know, like, he asked for advice all these years ago, and then you bring this up almost like a petty ex-boyfriend and ex-girlfriend.
And by the way, let me just set the record clear on one thing. People looking to those in their industry that have achieved things they want to achieve and wanting to strive to get better is never a bad thing. Just because you were higher up the food chain in the ladder because you're older doesn't make you Billy Badass, right? You're just somebody he was seeking some wisdom from. And what you're showing right now is your ass. And you're showing that maybe he didn't need to be seeking it from you after all.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. I mean, like I said, imagine hypothetically from my perspective as a producer, I want to DM Andrew Perloff of the Dan Patrick Show. I'm not DMing Hawk. I'm sorry.
You were going to say Hawk.
No, Hawk doesn't deserve to be DM'd. I think I'd much rather want to get a DM Andrew Perloff or one of the many Danettes who are part of the show as a producer, figure out how to get better or somewhere along those lines.
And then 5 years down the line, you're with the big national syndicate, and Andrew Perloff says, you remember when this bag asked for a little bit of help? Yeah, I get the example. We got to take our final break of the program. When we return, this is the first of the year. The first of the 2019 calendar year, we're going to audition for the best, shortest segment in sports radio history. Thank you for this clock, Astros Baseball. Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in. The shade never ends on 103.7 The Game.